Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily, where with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We tried to offer you a service. Certainly if you're a City or Chelsea fan heading to the Champions League final, we got Simon Calder on, Mr. Travel, and indeed a City fan who is hoping to be there at the game. We also spoke to Mark Burcham, who previously the QPR and former Millwall defender, sorry, midfielder. We talked to him about his move to Waterford in the southeast of Ireland.
I reviewed some restaurants for him.
You did, you helped him out. And what else did we... Oh, yes, Matt Ford joined us, comedian, Forest fan. He was on good form as well. And the birthday spread.
Absolutely right.
So quite a bumper one for you this afternoon, so enjoy. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. Mm. Yes, so after all this season, you know, that game last night, you suddenly look at the table and think Arsenal could finish above Tottenham.
They could.
This season. I don't know how you feel necessarily about bragging rights. You don't seem to me a bragger, generally.
No, I've always been a big believer in football karma, because one minute you're bragging, the next minute they're going, ah.
Exactly.
Because you bragged.
I'm
never keen.
With Arsenal Spurs, it's not really the next minute Spurs fans are doing that.
I mean,
that,
neither of us have come at ourselves in glory.
No.
So it'll be a hollow victory if whoever does finish above the other, really. But
I really enjoyed...
Although last night, what is it with Chelsea and Arsenal? They've got a real thing with them, haven't they? I mean, I did say to you yesterday, we talked, didn't we, about the game, and we talked about the side that Chelsea were likely to put out. And as I said to you, I don't think they're going to make too many changes because they still want to nail on top four. And they probably still are in the box seat.
Mm-hmm.
But man, they've made it a bit harder for themselves than they needed to after
still
last night.
They've got a good squad. I mean, they deserved to win that game, didn't they? Arsenal.
Arsenal defended well.
They did defend very well.
They rode their luck. They took their chance.
I really enjoyed... I listened to somebody, I can't remember where, but saying... Questioning Kepa's positioning for the goal seems a bit harsh, doesn't it?
I know Chelsea fans aren't keen on him, but that does seem a bit much.
Do you imagine Jorginho is normally better at keeping the ball than that? You think I'll probably be safe here.
A no-look pass back to your goalkeeper is just not a great idea,
no,
is it?
You know?
He gave his goalkeeper the eyes. That's never a particularly good idea.
It's a great shame that he didn't catch it, because then there would have been an indirect free kick. I think on the 6-yard box, I think you can't be any closer than the 6-yard box, the edge of it. But that would be a great place. It would be great to see how many limbs, how many draft excluders do you need when there's an indirect free kick on the edge of the 6-yard box. Sid Lowe tweeted just now. The Champions League obviously is going to be in Porto. We're talking to Simon Calder about how to get there. Things that explain this season, part 327. Chelsea couldn't go to Porto to play Porto, but do now go to Porto to play the final against someone else.
Yes.
That's what's happened this season. I'll explain sort of how odd this season is.
To be fair, the rules have changed
subsequently.
They've only just changed in Portugal. They've only agreed to let 10% of the crowd into games at the final fixtures. Jim White from The Telegraph was writing today about, in some ways, although it's ag and it's going to be expensive, If you're a Chelsea and City fan, it does feel a bit more exotic that it's going to be overseas, that you're actually getting on a plane, you're going to a foreign country and you can sit and have an Estrella in the sun somewhere, or a super bock, should I say, because they're not in Spain, are they? But you know what I mean. You can go and have a beer.
Do you only drink the beer of the country when you're in the country?
I tell you, I do. Yeah. If I can.
Okay,
if
good.
I can,
okay.
I will do something like that. But because it does feel like then it feels a bit more exotic. If you play at Wembley, it could be anything, couldn't it, really? It wouldn't be quite the same.
Especially because they had that semi-final. Were there fans there? I forget when fans were allowed in. Were there ones at the semi-final?
I can't remember.
But I do agree with you.
Yeah, Jim, I also said today that he was talking about corporate fans, because you will encounter, if Chelsea and City fans, of course, if you're going to the final next week, quite a lot of corporate fans. And he talks about these kind of crocodiles of people, someone holding up a banner from a well-known blue chip company or Champions League sponsor. And there's a sort of crocodile of very sort of casually dressed people, most of them not in football shirts or wearing any colours, walking behind them, being taken to their prime seats in the stadium. Jim said about 10 years ago, he got chatting to someone at a game before he took his seat in the press box. And the person said, I don't really like football. I only just come for these big occasions for work. He said,
I've been to
six football matches in my life, four Champions League finals and two World Cup finals.
Wow. Can anyone beat that? Is anyone listening going, actually, I've only done...
A lot of sports and football journalists listening to this. I think most of them could beat that.
No, but in terms of literally only going to top tier.
Okay.
If you've
been to very few football matches, but they tend to be quite memorable, you can let us know. But the real reason we wanted you to get in touch today was to tell us about these conversations with corporate fans, people clearly there because it's a jolly. Mm. I mean, you might be the same. You might be a football fan. You don't like cricket. You don't like rugby. And someone says, go on, come to Twickenham. Have a few beers. You'll get to see a game. It's sport. You like sport, don't you? Think, yeah, I don't really like rugby, but I'll go. Or I don't like cricket. And you go along. There's people around you kill for these tickets. And they absolutely love the game. And they start to indulge you in conversations about the quality, the breakdown of the England team. You're saying, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. And it enrages.
Absolutely.
I went to the World Cup final in 94. I was on a bit of a corporate jolly as well.
Okay, you're one of those, aren't you?
Well, the ticket I had came courtesy of a friend. I had at Adidas at the time. See, they're still paying out for them. Now they're going to mention. But we were surrounded by a lot of Brazilian fans who I think were from Gillette. And there was an American couple, a guy in his sort of early 30s with his missus, very nice people, just got having a conversation with them in the stadium in Pasadena. And this was their first ever football match, never been to a game before. Didn't really understand the rules, as they put it, or the laws. And they often did turn around and say, why did that happen? What's gone on there? So I got quite a lot of that. And they looked very bored. And it was before the time you could really spend. I mean, she definitely would have spent all of her time on her phone had phones been a thing then. And about 15 minutes before the end of 90 minutes, because remember, this final Italy...
Went all the way, didn't it?
It was one for the defensive purists. It wasn't a great one to go to if you'd never been to one.
I only go to Arrigo Sacchi games.
They probably still walk around and say, we went to one game of soccer once and it was garbage. There was no goals. They just kept playing. But they left 15 minutes before the end. This guy stood up. I thought he was going to go and get a beer, and he said, hey, it's been great talking to you. She said, nice to me. I said, where are you going? This is the World Cup final. I said, there's a billion people watching around the world. You're one of 110,000 people in this stadium. Do you not really? And I was kind of joking with him, but he basically said, I want to beat the traffic. He said, no, we got to drive back into the city. It's a long drive. But look, it's been lovely to see
you. I love
just
that.
Just wandered out of a World Cup final. So, look, it happens. So if you've had those corporate conversations, do let us know. TalkSport.com/H&J.
Do you want a couple?
You can text 81089, tweet TSH&J. And Max put it out earlier on.
Steve, Bristol City fan. Steve, overheard corporate types and part-time fans just shouting, go on, Bristol. I mean, oh, God, that would absolutely... good, kill you inside. Yeah. There's another Bristol club. So cringy. Garfield, many years ago, I heard some posh bloke ask if Arsenal keeper Richard Wright was related to Ian Wright. He was also fairly insistent that if you were brought down in the area but not facing the goal, it was an indirect free kick. Ronnie Barber, excellent broadcaster in his own right, overheard someone just saying, how long is the intermission? Which is nice.
That's far show country, isn't it? John Thompson with his hamper and his Arsenal shirt.
And Ben says, to the tune of "You Don't Know What You're Doing," someone singing "The Referee Needs Glasses," sung in full received pronunciation.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Keep those coming, please.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Just to let you know, 5 minutes gone. Sparta Rotterdam 0, Utrecht 0 at the moment. I'll keep you posted.
Max's second team. Third team. So, Mark Bertram, last time we spoke to him, he was the technical director of Bahamas Football. He's gone in a slightly different direction, I think it's fair to say. He's moved from the Bahamas to Waterford,
of course,
in the southeast of Ireland to take the gaffer's job there. The former QPR Millwall midfielder, Canada midfielder, and indeed QPR assistant manager, joins us now. Good afternoon, Birch.
Good afternoon, chaps. How are you?
Yeah, good. We say you're going to have to get those overcoats out of storage, a couple of brollies. It's going to be a bit different weather-wise for you. You're already there, I understand. Is that right?
Yeah. Day one of quarantine starting, so I've got another 4 left after this. I've done some quarantine in my time in the last 6 months. I know that.
What made you move from the Bahamas to Waterford? I mean, in everyone's mind, everybody thinks they want to end up in the Bahamas. You know, that's the sort of the ultimate ambition for everybody. What made you leave?
Probably footballing decisions. As a country, beautiful country, paradise, but with the way that the football was run there, it's a different, as I said, mindset in professionalism. A few things that promised didn't come to fruition, and this opportunity come about, and I thought, yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll jump it a bit closer to home with the family as well, so
yeah,
not too bad.
As I said, I think you were kind of quarantining with a view of the beach before, so a slightly different view. What's the view out the window at the moment, Bert? Can you tell us?
Yeah, it's all right. I think there's an old castle there I can see.
Oh, good.
And there, so it's not too bad. It's very green, a lot more green there than in Bahamas.
Yes.
But it's a summer league, so hopefully the temperature should get up to about 15 degrees. It'd be nice.
Yes, it would be. Now, you talked a lot about quarantine and everything that was going on in the Bahamas, and you had to go to the States at one point because of an outbreak, so it was pretty fraught over there around the virus. But in Ireland, we know that they lost the games in Dublin, sadly, for the Euros. There's still an ongoing issue, and Waterford have been affected more than most. You had to put the kids out in one game, and you've got a game called off this week, haven't you?
Yeah, that was the last game. So the couple of players went down with positive COVID tests. So over here in Ireland, the agreement is you can't postpone the game. So they had to put the under-19s out. But the under-19s only been back in training a week. So they ended up losing 7-0. So this week, they've had to forfeit the game. So they lose it 3-0. So the only way is up for me. That's why I took the job for. I've got to be honest.
Well, they are bad. You're bottom of the table, aren't you, at the moment?
Yeah, bottom of the table. So, but I've looked at a few games, and a lot of the games have been close, other than the most recent games. So, there's going to be investment in a team for players as well, which have been promised. Which the window opens July 1st, so we've got to try and organise ourselves and try and get as many points as we can up until then, when we can get some reinforcements in.
When you get to a club for the first time, like what's your sort of list of priorities that you have to do? I saw an interview about Brendan Rodgers where one of the first things he did was, you know, stage a meeting with the cleaners to tell them to move some boxes. And I was surprised that was one of the first things he did. Like, when you get there on day one, what's on your blank sheet of paper going, I've got to do this, 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 this and this?
Yeah, I've just checked my list. Meeting the cleaners ain't one of them when you're bottom of the league. I've got to be honest. But it's not, because I'm in quarantine at the minute, I've sort of locked myself away and just analysing the games, the last 5-6 games, looking at the squad, looking at the opposition we've got coming up. So luckily for me, I can use that time well. But it's talking to the players as a group, trying to get them organised and just put the... I don't like the word philosophy. It's a new-founded word, but just try and create... Any coaching philosophy should be win. That simple as that. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to create a culture, how we can do that. And just, like, not try and reinvent the wheel. Football simple. If you can be well organised, if you know your jobs, if you can be fit with a bit of team spirit, you should win more games than you lose. So we're going to have to try and simplify it and, as I said, try and get as many points as we can from now to the end of the season.
It's a predominantly Irish squad. I see a couple of Scottish players and Welsh players and a lad who was on loan, an English lad, Jamie Maskell. But do you know anybody at the club? How did this sort of opportunity come about? And did you know anybody involved with the club already?
Yeah, it was knowing the owners, so speaking to them, and just the fantastic training facilities they've got here, and so a lot of championship clubs would be proud of. And it come about here, and looking at Brian Murphy, the keeper, I had it at QPR. I was his reserve team manager when he was there with Neil Warnock and Daryl Murphy, the centre forward as well. So there's some players that have played in England. But it is a young squad, and that's what we probably need to look to do in July, to bring some experience in there to help these youngsters through this time and try and get up the league as quickly as possible.
Can you give a kind of approximate idea of the level? I know you haven't been there long, but from the games you've watched of the League of Ireland, sort of, what kind of league would you compare it with over here?
Yeah, I don't like doing that because it's so different. You can compare it to like League One or League Two or the Conference. There's some games that can be at a really high level, and you look at some other games and they're a bit lower. I know people ask me for that when I was in America, and it's just different cultures and different leagues. It is hard to say what level it is because there's a bigger gap between the bigger things and the smaller things.
We're still quite early in the season. You're not kind of cut adrift at the bottom, are you? I mean, it's a few wins and you could be sort of mid-table.
Yeah, well, you played each other four times, so they've had one round that's gone round. They've had the 10 games, so we're not cut adrift, and hopefully if we can get some points early doors on the board, and, you know, whatever coaching philosophy you've got or whatever type of coach you are, you're only as good as getting the points, and you can get the belief into the players. So if it's starting a new job, if you can get the points as quickly as possible, then it breeds that confidence in the players that they can do this. They can stay up and get up the table.
I'm just having a little look at which castle it might be.
I think it might be the Castle Hotel and Golf Course.
Do you think it's the Castle Hotel and Golf Course?
I mean, because Birch would like that particular castle.
Well, that's the third of... That's the 3 out of 12 on reviews. It's in third place in the hotels. Right. Although I've gone to the 1-star reviews and someone's found ants in the lodge condominium.
Well, I think we should give them the right reply. That was a one-off. They dealt with that, I'm sure.
I was literally driven from the airport straight into the apartment. So I don't know where I am. I've been on Google Maps. It's not really working too well. But it's like an old ruin of a wall with a type of castle. I know I'm not really helping you.
Do you know if you're in Waterford, Mark? Are you sure you're there?
He's definitely in Waterford.
Definitely in Waterford. I see that, and I can see Babylon Kebab opposite. Yeah. So if you Google that, Babylon Kebab's there.
Oh right, okay.
The club have announced it. Otherwise, I would have been thinking that this is some wind up by ex-QPR players that then bundled him into a car and just left him somewhere and told him he's got a job.
that's a prank I would have been proud of.
Sounds like one of yours. But just quick one on QPR before we let you go. I mean, they're doing all right. They've got some good young players. You kind of feel they could build on this year, next year, don't you?
Yeah, Coulton with the lungs that they got in, they got Charlie and Stefan Johansson in that done really well. So, but it was just a strange season, as you know, Paul. With no fans in there, it can be a bit false. So, especially with the young lads and the QPR fans coming back in, it can work either way. I think that's what West Ham's done so well this season. Yeah. Had their fans booing them. So, but that's the way it works. It's how players react in front of fans. I think we've had the players at QPR that have quite liked not playing in front of fans, and they can take a bit of risk, and people won't get on the back. So it will be a big season next year, because now there's some anticipation from the fans and some hope that we can at least get in the playoffs, and sometimes that can be your worst enemy.
Yeah, interesting. But we wish you well at Waterford. Good luck with the job, and we'll have a bit of a progress report in a few weeks. Look after yourself. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Paul.
Just so you know, Birch, Babylon Grill and Kebab, Birch, 4.4. Tried the whole chicken meal for the first time today. The smell of it in the car on the way home was mouth-watering. Eating it was delicious. Wow. Portion very generous with naan, salad and chips. Feeds a whole family. Very good value. And someone else says, number one in Waterford lamb chops. You cannot find anywhere.
That's dinner tonight sorted, isn't it, if you fancy a takeout.
Max, you had me at hello.
Cheers, Birch. Thanks very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I just checked out flights from Gatwick to Porto. Mm-hmm. And the cheapest way you could probably do it at the moment, if you left on Friday at 2:10, that cost you just under £300. If you came back Sunday, sort of mid-afternoon, that would cost you £350. So not cheap. It's gone up quite considerably. And apart from you put a bit of luggage on that and various bits and pieces, you'll be looking over £700. It can make it more expensive than that. There are more expensive flights because there is that KB scramble that we always see. And there's even less time to prepare because we've only found out a couple of hours ago that it's definitely going to be Porto. Simon Calder, travel expert, joins us. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon. You're absolutely right about those flight prices. But look, I am watching the flights, the airfares change almost in real time because extra capacity is being put on. For instance, Ryanair have just actually put on a flight from Stansted on the Friday afternoon going out there. That's brought the fare down to about sort of £200. Chelsea fans have a lot more choice. There's going to be extra flights from Luton, from Gatwick, from Stansted, and from Heathrow on British Airways, although British Airways is really premium prices at the moment. Manchester is doing all right because, again, Ryanair putting on extra flights there. EasyJet say they are going to be putting some more on. And I'll tell you what, Michael O'Leary, the boss of Ryanair, is City's biggest fan. So I'm actually pretty sure he's going to make sure there's room for everybody. I've asked the airline if he's going to be there. They haven't yet told me, but I'm 90% convinced that he will be. But of course, the reason it's in Portugal and not in Istanbul is because Portugal's on the green list, means no quarantine when you come back. Istanbul is on the red list, which means hotel quarantine.
Absolutely.
So is the tactic now, you know, if you're a fan, you want to go, what's your tactic? Do you wait because if they put on extra flights and the costs go down, or you just have to bite the bullet?
Right. Well, yeah, you just have to decide what's right for you. But I mean, my absolute recommendation is that you wait and see what you can squeeze out of this in terms of a holiday. Porto is one of Europe's most astonishing cities. It's got everything, a beach. It's got fantastic old town. Well, the whole place is kind of all slightly falling over, but there's some fantastic new architecture as well. You've got the Douro Valley and this amazing gorge kind of almost slicing through the city. On the far side, you've got the port houses. And of course, you're only a couple of hours by train from Lisbon. And if you want to book something in or out of Faro on the Algarve, you're kind of maybe 5 hours drive, I guess, from there. Fares much, much lower. But what you mustn't do, everybody, you mustn't book a flight into Spain and then travel on from there, because that will tarnish your green list status. You'll be amber and you'll need to quarantine when you come back. And one possibility, I give this a 50-50 chance, there could even be the first ferry for about 40 years sailing from the south coast, either Portsmouth or Plymouth, to Porto in time for the match on the 29th of May.
What a boozy affair that would be. Blimey.
A fan's boat would be sent and bands on there. What a party that would be. That's the way, that is certainly the way to do it. Simon, as always, thank you ever so much.
Can I just say, David says, can you tell Simon Calder he's become a lockdown legend with his travel advice? He was in my dream last night advising me about travel. That's the extent you've got to since lockdown.
It wasn't a dream. I was there.
That's frightened him now. There we are, Simon Calder. Cheers, with all Simon. The latest information, travel expert as always. But as we said, one of our top team here on the show and at TalkSport, Kim, is a time-serving Manchester City fan, a regular. And you, Kim, you took a punt last week on it being Porto. It was quite bold, but you did go Istanbul first, didn't you?
Yeah. So we booked tickets to Istanbul, which I think we kind of did more in hope than expectation.
Yeah.
We paid a little bit more so we could get them refunded, but didn't have to in the end anyway, because as soon as they went on the red list, the airline refunded us back. And then I think it was Sunday night, and I think Sean Custis came onto TalkSport and he said, oh, it's looking like it might be in Portugal. So we were just like, we looked on, they were like £95 return, and we thought, well, we may as well. If we lose out, we lose out.
And even if it's Lisbon, you can get, as Simon said, you can get on the road for a couple of hours and get there.
Yeah, I mean, me and my City mates were just saying, like, as soon as we're in Portugal, however we have to get there, we'll get to the stadium, whatever happens. So we just thought, we may as well book it. And then it came through today and we looked at the same flights we booked and they're like, I think, six times more expensive now.
Wow.
But to be honest, I'm a little bit jealous of this boozy boat.
Yeah.
That just sounds absolutely quality, doesn't it?
I can't think of anything worse. Yeah. Are you going to, now you've listened to Simon there, might you extend the trip, go and look at the new architecture in the Douro Valley? What's that?
How long are you there for? Yeah, how long have you booked for?
So there's no chance I'm seeing anything other than Superbok, first of all. But so we arrive on Thursday morning and then we leave like quite early on Monday morning. So we're there for four nights.
It's a lovely city.
It's one of my favourite cities anyway, so I'm unbelievably happy. I don't think I'll get a ticket. If anyone's listening now who might be able to get me a ticket.
Is that an abuse of your position here?
Look, I don't care. It's the only reason I've come on air. If anyone can get me a ticket, please just contact TalkSport.
But, you know, I mean, it's going to be... I mean, most people travelling there... I wonder how many people do what you've done. Just go there and just for the crack and just to be there in the city when the final's happening, or have a part, which you can do now in Portugal, which is great.
I'm kind of assuming if 6,000 fans each are going, I would say probably 8,000 to 10,000 fans will go in the hope of either getting a towel or watching it in the city, I would imagine. So I think the atmosphere there will be amazing anyway.
Yeah.
Weather's supposed to be nice. And like you said,
the
city
on one side of the river and Chelsea on the other side of the river. Who gets the port? Who gets the old port houses side?
The gaffer's just wandered in. You haven't booked those days off, haven't you? If you book those, he hasn't booked those days. Look, he's giving you. This is news to the gaffer who's booking all these slots for Kim. So anyway, we might have to leave you to incur his wrath.
He can't possibly expect me to come in here when it's our first Champions League ever.
He's a bitter gooner. He'll make you work because he's not there.
There's no chance I'm on that flight.
Well, brilliant. Well done, Kim. That was worth a punt, wasn't it? I wonder how many more people did that at that same time.
So once again, it's like you changing the nature of golf events as they happen. Nobody gets told where any of these tournaments are held now. That's you just have to guess a city when you win the semi-final, and then they tell you later.
That's it.
It's the
like
future
a complete
of sport.
Lottery. Well, have a good time. We hope you get a ticket.
Enjoy
Thank you very much.
See you, Kim. Thanks very much.
And good luck finding another job as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's been lovely working with you.
You've looked quite good at it.
Yeah. Anyway.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We got a couple of texts and tweets in off the back of talking to Simon Calder about going to Porto and asking about COVID tests, which we should have asked Simon. But we texted him and he said this: fans will need to factor in the, not necessarily outbound, okay, for your COVID test. Fans will need to factor in the cost of testing. It is not yet clear what requirements Portugal will impose on fans. The UK's rules for returning from green list countries are clear. A test before departing from Porto and a pre-booked PCR test to be taken within 2 days of arrival, likely to total around £100. So make sure you factor that in if you decide to go.
Yes. So it's kind of plainish sailing, but there's obviously some hoops to jump through, but people who are going
I'm presuming
for the final
nothing,
won't mind.
Presuming nothing changes, of course. It is still Sparta, Rotterdam 0, Utrecht 0. I know people are very excited. Got a tweet from Doncaster Bucks supporters branch. We follow FC Utrecht. There's a group called British Utrecht. Ooh. We travel from Doncaster every year and catch a game in the Bunnick side, which perhaps is where Utrecht play. I'm a huge fan, but I've not got all the...
You only got the shirt on Tuesday. Steve, do a lot of catching up.
And it says, one place available for 2022 if you're interested. And then he says, he's written the letter U six times, which I guess is Utrecht.
That's what I presume.
Oh, you know it already.
But I would imagine it's just,
So there we are.
That's the song they sing.
What a burgeoning support fandom this is happening.
You've been telling us tales of corporate football and conversations and things that have gone on around the world of corporate football and indeed other sports as well. I'll let you. You read me the opening sentence of one that's gone. Well, I'll leave that to you, Max.
Here we go. Okay.
Go on, give it. It's a corker.
Here we go. In the early 2000s, we had a corporate day out at Spurs versus Chelsea in the Pat Jennings suite. I knew it was going to be a tough day when my boss tried to order a bottle of wine off Martin Chivas.
Well done. That's a very good start. I've not read the rest of it. If it lives up to that,
it's
a corker.
Well, I think that's the peak, but it's still good. I was surprised my boss came out to actually watch the game. After 20 minutes, Hasselbank scored. My boss went up like a firecracker, celebrating like mad. Not that he's a football fan, but he'd won £50 on first goal scorer. Proved to be a poor decision on his part, as the stewards had to usher us inside for our own protection. We also had to remain behind 45 minutes after the game, as a few very enthusiastic Spurs fans wanted to introduce themselves to us. Never again.
That is the trouble. We're going to games with people that,
ordering a bottle of wine off mine, Chivers. That's brilliant, isn't
He's a nice man, Chiv, and he used to own a pub.
So there you
go. There's a pretty good chance if you told him what he'd probably say something like, "Would you want something fruity?" Just I can recommend it. We got a very nice. Martin would have known.
What did he do? Go up to Cliff Jones saying, "I think this is corked, Cliff."
Yeah.
That's it. Can I get another bottle, please?
They're not wait staff. They're legends, mate. What's wrong with you? Aaron in Brighton says, my auntie lives in America, came to the UK as part of a business trip. She's a bit of a high roller at American Express. She was interested in watching Brighton play at the new stadium, the Amex, so we got her tickets to attend. Score finished 3-2. However, when anybody asked her that day what the score was, she said, oh, well, it was 3-0 to Brighton and 2-0 to the other team. So there
nice
we are.
It's a way to watch football, isn't it? Everyone gets to win, don't
That's
they?
That's true, that is good.
This is from Tom, who says, for people who didn't really understand going to football, a family I can only assume won tickets. Once I unrolled a picnic blanket and started to get out their bags on the concourse at Leicester. Stewards quick to notice they weren't regular and packed them away quickly. What the idea of getting there, just outside the ground, rolling out a picnic blanket.
With an eye on the birthday spread, Mossy, the Leeds fan, in light of some of the things that have been said about team selections and, you know, the right things to do when you're putting teams out. The birthday spread, by if Max Rushton plays the birthday spread by just going one either side of Paul's guesses, should we be looking at sanctions for ungentlemanly conduct?
How dare you?
Should we? I mean, you can only do that, obviously, on the ones where I go first. But let's be honest, in your victory last week, some would call it tactical, some would call it cynical. But was a lot of that going on last week.
I'm playing no part of these mind games.
No, I'm just saying, there was a lot of that going on last week.
Oh, I see. It already starts. And it sounds like you're slightly nervous about this.
No, as I said, well, we were saying earlier on, it's 16-2, the actual score.
Very
At which point will I start
line.
To worry?
What do you reckon?
Do you think you thought 16-9?
Well, if I win 4 or 5 on the spin,
yeah,
then you know that could be it. You could capitulate.
Okay,
it could be like Leeds in the early 2000s, couldn't it?
Yeah,
you've overspent. You overspent early.
That's right. Bought the Goldfisher Company car. So, keep those coming. Life at the corporate sporting trough. Maybe you were there, not at all interested in a big event. For example, Andy in Reigate says, I've been to one professional tennis match in my life. It just happened to be the 2013 Wimbledon final when Andy Murray won for the first time. I mean, it's a complete day of history he was at, and he probably didn't care that much.
Ted's the same. My wife was secretary to the boss of the accountants for the All England Tennis Club. We went to the men's semi-finals at Wimbledon in the 70s. Borg versus Gerolaitis, McEnroe versus Connors. I don't like tennis.
Yeah.
But there are people who would kill for those tickets.
Exactly. And sometimes you do feel a bit, when you get a bit of the old, a bit of the corporate, you know, in the boxes or whatever, or you get, you feel a bit guilty, don't you? I mean, that goes off after about the fourth bottle of wine, but you do feel a bit guilty at the time that you're taking up someone else's space.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been to a couple of Champions League finals like that and have felt guilty and have made a decision to go. If I'm working on it, fine. If I'm writing a piece for it, then fine. But otherwise, you know, I'm not an Atletico Madrid fan.
You play the birthday spread with that level of cynicism, so I'm surprised, actually, that you don't really look out for them.
Believe Hawksby started the mind games for the birthday spread this early. Max has him rattled, says Mart. Jonathan, 2:13 p.m, he's trying to get in your head.
No, look, all I'm saying is that game was what it was last week because one of us went Butch and Sundance. One of us went gung ho. One of us actually went for
It's a results game.
And you know, one of us got outside our comfort zone and you know, made it entertaining because ultimately it's entertainment, isn't it?
That's what the fans want, is it?
It's entertainment. That's what we all come here for.
Every disgrace.
Thursday at 3:30.
So as I said last week, everyone presumed you were the nice one and Andy was the nasty one, but it's not true.
I'm stating facts.
Okay,
I'm doing.
It's a fact. You've gone Rafa Benitez now.
Wow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, we've spoken to our next guest a few times during lockdown, but he can now contemplate performing live, which is a joy, I'm sure. It is a comedian, impressionist podcaster. We'll come on to that in a minute. Matt Ford and Forest fan, of course. Hi, Matt.
Hello, mate. We'll come on to that in a minute. Makes me sound like I'm in trouble.
No, that's no, okay.
So first of all, we've got some real issues with you, yeah. Your current work, Matt.
And this is from the 24th of May in London's busy West End, the political party specials in front of an audience, I take it.
Yes, a socially distanced audience at, as you say, in London's glamorous, glittering West End. Two nights at the Garrick and a night at the Vaudeville with a heavyweight headline lineup of politicians.
Yeah, so tell us who you're going to be chatting to and what the sort of format is.
So on Monday the 24th of May, I mean, the way I've booked these makes it look like I'm some sort of political genius who knew what was going to happen in the last week or so. I've got Saeed Avarsi and the former MP for Hartlepool, Peter Mandelson, on Monday the 24th. I'll interview them each in a separate half. The following night, on the 25th of May, I've got Andrea Leadsom and Keir Starmer.
Wow, okay.
That one has already sold out. And on the 2nd of June, I've got Jess Phillips and Esther McVeigh. So, you know, Labour-Tory balances on three nights and six just fantastic big guests who I can't wait to interview.
Do you have to, like, get a Lib Dem every sort of 15th show just to sort of, you know, keep it proportionate?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in all parties, really. And sometimes, I mean, when you're putting on a show in the West End, obviously, you want to put on the best possible night that you can. And at the moment, there aren't that many Lib Dems around.
Yeah, yeah.
There may be more in the future, but who knows? But the way that politics has gone, obviously, is the return of two-party politics. So there are just more options, way more options on the Labour and Conservative benches.
I imagine you'll have a few political journos in the audience, won't you? Because I imagine this will be quite quotable, some of the stuff that they'll be coming out with this lineup.
I'd have thought so. I mean, I interview them in a different way to your standard political interview, really. And it's a place that politicians know they can be a bit more informal and a bit more themselves. And as a result, you get different answers. It's not the same as going on the Today programme. It's more informal. People let their hair down a bit more. And, you know, people give me great answers. I'm very lucky.
One of the difficult, you know, one of the reasons I find, you know, and I think a lot of people find interviews with politicians difficult is because they're not just answering for the show they happen to be on, right? They've got a million different audiences. That quote will be picked up and taken elsewhere, which is sort of why I feel they can never really answer the question. So, you know, you ask somebody from Labour if they like Keir Starmer, they would have voted for him to be leader before or whatever, and then they can't tell you exactly what they want. And I find that frustrating. So do they actually give you answers there? Because they've got to be on their guard the whole time.
Yeah, it's not always about them giving different answers to the same question. It's that we can talk about different things there. So it's more of a kind of safe space to tell, you know, perhaps a bawdier story or a more risque anecdote or you know, open up about something where you don't get to do that on the Today programme. And obviously, speaking slightly in defence of politicians, if party discipline breaks down completely, then you've got no hope of winning elections. So, of course, they have to be guarded sometimes, and it is very frustrating as a listener or a viewer when that happens. But then equally, it's incumbent on the interviewer to word the question or choose a question to which perhaps you're going to get a better answer. Yeah.
Who knows? They may come off the stage and the old special advisor saying, that all the time.
Exactly.
And then we might start winning a bit more. So your podcast, I mentioned British Scandal. I was listening to the first one the other day, Matt, enjoying it. You and Alice Levine, isn't it? And a serious subject, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And every series will make... It's very serious. So the first one is about the poisoning of Alexander Litvinenko. And if you haven't heard British Scandal yet, it's not like any other project I've been involved in. So Alice Levine and I host it, and it's produced in a way that is, it's basically the kind of Hollywood version of podcasts. You know, it has this epic soundtrack and it's deeply immersive. So it's a new way to tell stories, really, without sounding like a company man. I find myself listening back to it going, oh my God, you know, it really transports you into a different world. But a lot of the stories we cover have real tragedy at the heart of it. And people remember Alexander Litvinenko and the way he was poisoned and murdered by Putin and his, you know, these goons that he sends over to carry out the job. And, you know, elements of it are really shocking. There are elements of it that are farcical, that are ludicrous, that I think people either didn't pick up on at the time or would have forgotten. And, you know, we tell those bits as well.
Yeah. We should do a bit of football, shouldn't
Absolutely,
we, really?
Yeah.
And Forest, what did you make of it? 17th in the end. You didn't flirt with relegation quite to the extent that Derby County did. But what did you make of the job that Chris did and where you're at?
Well, I think he did. His primary objective was to keep us in the league. Mm. And he did that. Obviously, next season, we don't want to stay in the league. We want to get promoted. And I just think it was such an odd season for Forest fans because, obviously, the season before, we miss out on the playoffs in the last 5 minutes. This kind of freak mathematical thing happens. And then you start the season so badly. So we basically, it was like starting with a points deduction. It just wrote off any hope of even pushing for the playoffs. It became a survival exercise, and you only need to look at the results. He kind of achieved that almost immediately. He made us very hard to beat. We started winning games, and given the situation we were in, which was tragic given the progress that had been made up until that point, he satisfied that. So, you know, the bloke knows what he's doing. He's got teams promoted from the Championship before, and I just really hope. It's been 22 years now. Wow. I feel like every time I come on the show, it's an extra year. Yeah.
I was thinking that, Matt, that it must be really strange for someone who grew up, you know, Nottingham Forest, for someone we're similar ages, you know, Nottingham Forest are a first division, a Premier League side. And have you come to terms with them not being now? You know, in your mind, are they still a Premier League team?
You know what? Well, kind of yes, because that was my formative experience. I remember Brian Clough managing us and Stuart Pearce being the captain and Roy Keane and Collymore, you know, stars, and being really good and playing great football. I was spoiled as a child seeing the standard of football that we played. So obviously from that, the whole thing kind of got shattered. I mean, when we got relegated to League One, I then had 3 years down there.
Wow.
That was the point at which really... it really bit, and you thought, oh God, you know, as long as we were in the Championship or the First Division, whatever, you know, whatever companies decide it's going to be called from 1 year to the next, the second tier, there was always that lingering hope. You think, well, this season, this season, this season. Once you're in League One, you know then you're at least two seasons away.
That's so interesting. I blanked from my mind that Forest were ever in League One. That part of history has just disappeared for me.
Matters by awful. The sound of it. No. Just before we let you go, it looks as if Donald Trump is still in the box seat to come again in 2024. Oh, so and you dust him off again. You're kind of secretly hoping he does, or for your sanity, you'd rather he doesn't.
For my sanity, I'd rather he didn't. But I sort of worry that I'm going to end up like one of those Elvis impersonators, that I'm going to end up at a Trump convention in a jumpsuit in Vegas in 30 years' time. Going, I used to do him on Spit and Image. You know, going, it's very beautiful. It's great to be here. Just kind of stuck and kind of lumbered with it.
The idea of an Elvis Trump hybrid convention
with so many
where
Trumps.
You get early Trump, you know, when he was that's right, when he was married to Ivana and that sort of era Trump doing the early stuff,
doing the Rumble's Cup,
the Sun Sessions,
Trump,
that one, and then the later years Elvis. Where you do the trilogy, That's it.
Well, yeah. Like Elvis, he went through a cheeseburger phase.
He did.
There are parallels there.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, cheers, Matt. Good luck with the live gigs. Thanks for joining us. You can catch Matt Ford, West End political party specials. And he's a good company man. If you are a fan of hard-hitting political interviews and political discussion, then look no further than our sister stations, Times Radio and Talk Radio, for many a political interview. See, I am...
Really well done, Paul. See, you're a politician, aren't you?
I am.
You're the ultimate politician. That's why you've been here so long, isn't it?
There we are. You never lose it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Here we go then, that point of the show, every Thursday at 3.30, the home of the birthday spread. It's a pretty straightforward game. Andy Jacobs joins us and he'll be giving us 10 gilt-edged gags of people's birthday it was this week. Not just today, don't have a game because it's not their birthday today. It's this week, give them bit of a chance to come up with the material. So the job of Max and I is to try and guess how old these people are.
Yeah.
And there will be a margin of error in our guesses that builds. And the one with the shortest margin of error at the end of 10 birthdays is the winner. We have an official scorer in Jeff Peters, who I think joins us now from his East Midlands Nerve Centre. Good afternoon, Jeff.
This is the season for Leicester.
Oh, hang on, wrong one. Yeah, pressed the wrong one there.
Oh, here
yeah,
we are,
sorry,
right.
There you go. Yeah, we're back in the room.
Okay. I mean, we're back in the room. Mathematically certain, but I think you're more or less there, Jeff.
I should really get that phone, Jeff, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I've got my lateral flow test later ahead of going to Wembley on Saturday, so
praying. Really? She's a lovely girl, lateral flow.
She is, indeed. 16-2 is how it stands on the scores, with Paul just with his nose slightly in front.
Ian says, I've pulled my truck into a services for the birthday spread. It may not be safe to operate heavy machinery with the tension and excitement. Very wise, Ian.
Yes. So I go first this week, don't I?
Say hello to Andy.
Oh, sorry, Andy. I'm just... hello, Andy. You're right.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
It's all right.
Email you the gag if we had somebody else to do it.
Quite a key part of all of this. Hello, Andy.
He was going to speak in the end.
Yeah, that's true.
But I just got my game face on because I've suddenly realised, because I lost last week, I'll go first. Well, I know. Is that right, Jeff? That is right.
Yeah, challenger goes first.
Yeah, challenger goes first. Okay, so... are you pleased with the gags this week, Andy? Or
no, not really. Oh, okay. It was very kind of you. I wrote about 16. I picked the best 10, which you can imagine the other six weren't that good.
Yeah.
But
well,
there
we should
go.
Have that kind
it's
of overspill. We should have the overspill gags.
I love the overspill.
And do that on a separate podcast or something. Yeah. Okay. Well, it is Pelé with us. I believe he is, isn't he?
Oh, hello.
Before we get underway, Bob in Arbroath has been in touch. Let me run this past you, and indeed the TalkSport listeners. Bob, he says, I love the birthday spread. The only way it could be improved, in my humble opinion, is for you and Max to write down your guesses at the same time, then take turns to reveal your answers.
No, I disagree.
Well, it's funny you should say it, because Bob goes on, that way it stops Max's S-housery, as you call it, and prevents the...
S-housery, I'm 16-2 down.
And prevents
Bob's a stickler for the rules, we know that.
And prevents the second player, not mentioning any names, just going 1 year out from the first player's
Bob
guess.
Bob out, that's
this
what I say.
This system would also build great suspense on birthdays 9 and 10, when Andy says, for example, Marilyn Horn, opera singer. It could be 30. Or it could be 80. It's not her birthday this week. We haven't done Marilyn Horn, have you?
We haven't.
So what do we think generally of the write down the birth? Max has given it a big thumbs down, but
you can't change the rules.
Well, it's a bit late to change it. You can't change
it. I suppose it is. Maybe we'll play the Bob and Arbroath system one week, like a testimonial, like the charity, like the Community Shield. We'll do it one week.
I think
week.
These things have to go through the birthday spread WhatsApp group, where we get a nice calm reaction to possible changes. So
I think that's true.
I think that's possible.
If only there was somebody who could arbitrate on this.
That's a good point.
Anyway, so let's
Bob's
play.
Deliberately trying to ruin the rules like Kalina, honestly.
Let's get underway then. So first birthday.
Oh, yes, it's a very happy birthday to the
That's
singer.
That's why we're all here, surely.
That's right, yeah.
Thanks for your time, Andy. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's exactly. I'm still getting over last night. It was such a disaster.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's another matter. It's a very happy birthday to the singer and songwriter, Billy Joel. And I knew him way before he was famous. He used to be a caretaker at our local football club. Bill, as we called him, was so proud of his dressing rooms, he never wanted us to use them. Don't go changing, he said.
Yeah, very good. What's Billy Billy Joel. He's got to be getting on, hasn't he? 74, I'm going to go with.
That's what I had.
Oh, you wrote that down, did you?
I will go.
If only there was a system where you could just lift up and show it to me.
Damn, I love the Bob in our Broth system. Yeah. Too late now.
What
go
are you
going to
go with?
75.
Bob, you've been proved absolutely right. What is he?
Absolutely right. He's 72.
Oh, okay. So what's the scores, Jim?
Max went the wrong way there. So it's Paul 2, Max 3.
3-2, okay, right.
Okay, very happy birthday, tennis player and Wimbledon singles champion 1966, Manuel Santana.
Blimey.
And at one time actually he had a lot of trouble with his on-court temperament, even worse than McEnroe. Luckily I was on hand with some sound sporting advice. Santana, you've got to change your evil ways, baby.
Nice, yeah. So what were his years, Andy?
66 he won it.
66 he won Wimbledon,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well he's got to be getting on a bit. 84.
Yeah, he's got to be something like that, hasn't he? 86.
83.
Ooh.
Okay. Max edges into the lead, 4-5.
4-5, okay.
Okay, birthday number 3 is Anita Dobson, and for once it's not a pun, but a crossword clue. 5 and 6, no one else can but Brian May.
Well, that's clever. That is clever.
Very good.
Have you worked it out?
Is it a joke or is it a clue? What are you doing there?
Yeah. I think Anita Dobson is obviously the answer. But what's her birthday?
Anita Dobson.
I think I know who that is.
Yeah, so might go first.
She's married to Brian May. I didn't know that.
60.
Are you all right? You okay? You stopped.
60. Clickety click. 66. Andy.
Okay, I was reckoning 64.
72.
Oh, she's wearing well.
Paul retakes the lead, 11-12.
11-12. What is this? This is a ding-dong-do, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. A happy birthday to the soprano, Dame Felicity Lott. And she was driving around Hove, actually, when she had a minor accident outside the house of Sussex cricketer Phil Salt. She collided with one of the large columns on Phil's gate. You could say Lott turned into a pillar of salt. Thank you.
Beautiful, look at that.
Right.
This one for the right Reverend Richard Coles, if you're listening.
A bit of a problem, unless you know Felicity Lott. Do you know
Auntie Felicity?
Do you know Felicity?
It started, hasn't it?
My family.
She's part of the Eldridges, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She feeds into David Beckham and Len Goodman.
Soprano, Felicity Lott. I've got to remember, if I haven't heard of them, I don't know who she is, mate. They could be older. Yeah. Okay, I'll go 69.
Okay, I haven't heard of her. I'd just be guessing. I'll be something quite similar. 75.
Ooh, 74.
Oh, well done, Paul.
Okay, I didn't know she was. So what's that down to scores, Jeff?
Max is 5 out, so he moves on to 17. Mm. Paul is 1 out, he's on 12. There's 5 between you.
Very little in it. I'm first this time. Andy, what's next? Number 5.
Okay, it's a very happy birthday to the Commissioner for Appointments. I've never heard of that. Baroness Rennie Fritchie. And we always used to have a daily greetings ritual. We'd say, morning, Fritchie, and she'd say, morning, everyone.
I think it was a very poor performance. One of the worst things I have ever seen.
Here we are.
That's quick work by Jeff.
That's very quick work given how late that is. Yeah. He sent me all the birthdays.
I only sent him the birthdays at 3:28.
Yeah. You're a bad man, Andy. So,
I know.
What's their first name? Not Lionel. What was their first name?
Rennie.
Okay.
Rennie Fritchie.
66. I'm going to go 66 again on this one. What do you think?
72.
79.
Oh, that's made it interesting.
So we are at the halfway point.
Yes.
And now Max is back in the lead.
Wow.
It's end to end this by 1 point, 25-24. What a game.
What a ding dong battle this is. Tremendous stuff. Very happy birthday. He's often appeared in the birthday spread. It's the Chairman of Financial Reporting Council 2014-19, Sir Win Bischoff. And we were having a heated debate about who was the most successful at their sport, Ian Bishop the footballer or Ian Bishop the cricketer. We just couldn't agree. It was a no-win Bischoff.
Well, with you on that one, yes.
Now, you're saying that Sir Win Bischoff has been on the birthday spread many times before, that's not bringing it into disrepute. I don't know what is.
No, to be fair, we haven't done it for about 20 years.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Oh, well, okay. And what was he again? What did he do?
He was the Chairman of Financial Reporting Council 2014-19.
Right, okay. 14 to 19. So he's still in active service in that time. So, you know, he can't have been 100. Yeah. So I think he is 76.
That's not a bad guess. 75.
He's 80.
Oh,
this is so close.
Wow.
So Paul drops a further point back. It's 30 to Paul, 28 to Max after six.
30 for me, 28 for Max. Okay, right. It's me next.
Okay, very happy birthday to the High Court judge, the presiding judge for the Southeastern Circuit, Dame Philippa Whipple. Dame Philippa Whipple, known in the Southeastern Circuit dressing rooms as Wasboy.
Well, you know. Wow, that's a toughie, isn't it?
It's a tough circuit to work on.
It is. Southeast. I'm going to go 70.
Do you see, she's still doing that. That's not. You didn't give us any years of service there.
No,
you?
She could.
No,
she
can't say any more.
Dame Philippa Whipple is 67.
55.
Oh,
it could be crucial.
Wow.
Max opening up a gap here. 5 points with three to go.
So what are the scores, Jeff?
45-40.
45-40. Okay. Right.
Okay. It's a happy birthday to the novelist, Thomas Pynchon. And A.B. de Villiers invested heavily in his work before Thomas was famous. He said to me, "That's my Pynchon."
Beautiful. Oh, dear.
Thomas Pynchon. Okay. Pynchon. Thomas Pynchon, novelist. You read any of his stuff, Paul?
I'm aware of his work, but I'll be brutally honest. I don't feel confident in knowing his age.
You are aware of his work?
Well, I've heard of him, yeah. I've heard of his...
Oh, that seems like...
You've heard of him, haven't you? Thomas Pynchon?
I don't know if you have heard of
Thomas Pynchon. No, I have heard. No, I've heard of him.
Have you?
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people. They're old there. If he walked in now, I wouldn't say, "Oh, it's Tommy Pynchon."
55.
Okay. That's not. I think he could be a bit older, and I could do a claw in this back. 65.
He's 84.
Tommy Pynchon. Oh, somebody would have to help him in, possibly. So, what's that done to the scores?
Trying to work this out. Okay, so it's Paul 64, Max 69. So Paul leads by 5-2 to go.
Okay, here we go. This time goes
fast. Okay, I'm going with Baroness Rosie Boycott, founder of Spare Rib and editor of The Independent in 1998. Baroness Rosie Boycott. When I worked for The Independent, you'd have to wait outside her office, not knowing if you were going to be fired or not. It was known as Boycott's Corridor of Uncertainty.
Yes, of course. Rosie Boycott. 69.
75.
She's 70. Should have just gone one, really.
I've met Rosie Boycott when I worked in magazines.
Rub it in. I haven't met Rosie Boycott, and I never want to meet Rosie Boycott.
Did she hit you with a stick of rhubarb?
she said, "Get out now." She said, "Yeah."
So Paul extends his lead here.
What's
so
the lead?
Paul was one out, Max was five out. Paul onto 65, Max onto 74. There is nine in it, 64. And we are at the final one. And Tony Jones, the top commentator, who was a big fan of the birthday spread, he just messaged to say the tension is palpable.
It is. Even I'm feeling a bit.
I can't believe you've met one of the ten.
This is a tricky one.
It was a long time ago, and she looked good for her age. Okay. And she'd obviously wore well.
Did you ask for her birth certificate at the time? Okay.
Funny enough, I did. Just in case.
I wouldn't put it past you.
I think I said to what you've probably got about 10 years on me, haven't you, Rosie? Something like that. I think I asked. And then I wrote it down in a small book.
I thought you did.
On the off chance. I've been on national radio 28 years later.
Why you're such a great player.
Yeah.
No, not to mention going to a birthday party last year.
Yeah, of course.
Apart from that. Yeah. Okay, this one. Oh, this is a tricky one to end with. It could be anything, let's be honest.
Wow.
It's the painter Frank Stella. Frank Stella.
Wow, Frank Stella.
And he saved my life once when he donated blood to me. I felt a lot better after a pint of Stella.
Yeah. Now, I don't know Frank. Do you know Frank Stella?
I've got one of his pieces at home.
He's got a little smile on his face. He feels very confident in Frank Stella. 84. I'm going for it. I'm going glory. 84. There's not much in it, Max. You could do this.
So I'm nine behind.
Yeah.
So do I need to guess nine or ten? I think this math's right. I don't want to draw 10. You said what?
84 I've gone with.
74.
What a brilliant guess by Paul Hawksby. He's 85.
You can't teach that. I've mocked the moose for applauding radio, and I'm applauding the radio right now.
Yeah. Excellent work.
Final scores.
Paul 1 out, Max 11 out on that. So Paul finishes on 66, Max on 85. 17-2 is the new lead for...
Yeah, but it was closer than that, wasn't it?
That was a great contest.
I thought that was one of the best, actually.
I really got drawn. I'm quite tired myself now. I'm not normally, but I'm quite drained.
Thomas Pynchon seemed to move the goalpost a little bit with...
I mean, he's a terrible... How he ever got published.
Well, there we are. It moves on.
Can I just say to Jeff, I'll see you Saturday, Jeff. We'll have a drink together after the match. Yeah.
I mean, if Chelsea lose, I look forward to that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. What a tremendous spread, Max.
The streak ends.
How are you feeling about it? I mean, you don't seem as disappointed today.
No, I feel like...
Because
I just feel like
you couldn't have done much more.
I think it was
a
really good game.
Yeah, it was one of those games that could have gone either way, end to end.
It ebbed and flowed, I think.
It did.
You know, I think...
You can't beat yourself up after
I think the birthday spread was the winner.
It was.
There wasn't a moment where...
It's a great advert for the birthday spread.
Yeah, it really was a great advert for the greatest spread in the world.
It certainly is. Well, there we are. Andy's with me.
Get sponsored by some sort of spread, shouldn't we?
It would be good. Well, like Flora.
Yeah, Flora.
Yeah, we'll put that to our salespeople. You're back on Saturday.
Yes, correct.
With Charlie. And Sunday with Barry.
Yes.
Marvellous. I'm here with Andy tomorrow. If you can listen, that would be great.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.